Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn and welcome someone this morning. Glory to God forevermore. And God is good, God is good, God is faithful. Hallelujah. We're going to continue with our series on taking off all limitations because of the instructions that God gave to us late last year concerning this year. Say again, this year is my year of the overflow. Overflow of God's goodness, God's mercy in every area of my life. 1 Peter chapter 1. I read from verse 18. So we're exhorting ourselves and looking at God's word afresh to reassure our heart and bring us to a place of full persuasion about the mighty things God is set to do in our affairs this season. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, that is things that are subject to decay or failure, you were not redeemed with such things. And he now says silver and gold, which is earthly currency. You were redeemed, and the word redeemed means to buy back. It means to make a payment in order to, which is a reflection of the value you place upon something or someone. That's what redemption means. So to redeem means to buy back or to make payment. And the payment you make must be a reflection of your value of what you are paying for. And now it says, for as much as you know, so the Apostle Peter is instructing us and revealing God's plan of salvation, the details and the nitty-gritty. So for as much as you are aware, he's talking those who are born again, you were not redeemed with corruptible things. And it's interesting that Peter uses silver and gold, which is something men value upon the earth. So he's telling you, silver and gold is corruptible. So God chose something much more precious. Say amen. And so if he chose something much more precious, it means that in itself is a pointer to the kind of salvation you have. Some that's not perishable, some that's not temporal, something that's not fleeting or passing, something permanent and eternal. Now, to a lot of people, gold is almost forever, but it's not forever. So for as much as you know, say, I know. That's important. Now, it says, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Can we see that in any other translation, please? Good News, Message. Verse 18, I want to explain what vain conversation is. It cost God plenty to get you out of that dead end, empty-headed life you grew up in. That's serious. That's serious. All right, that's message. Let's have another translation. For you know it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. You know. So Peter, by the Spirit, is calling attention. Are you not aware? And notice what he's talking about now. In natural way of thinking, you start thinking, okay, what was I redeemed from? Okay, from demonic influence and all those things. But he's telling you, you cannot have demonic influence without those things handed down by your ancestors. There are things that run in family lines. Limitations placed upon certain generations. He speaks about our strength, trust stuff. I'm not talking about strength, causes now, okay? He says, he calls it vain, empty. That which lacks substance, it has been handed down. It means the blood of Jesus is not derived from physical things. There were spiritual entities that has affected and shaped your upbringing, shaped your life, shaped previous generations. What God used to deliver you from that could not be done with silver and gold. It has to be something spiritual also, because this vain tradition is spiritual in nature. It controls your way of thinking. There's an outlook you have towards life. And that's one of the reasons why when people are getting married and you go to proper counseling, there are differences in how you grew up and where you grew up and some cultural and traditional beliefs that you may have come from that you may not even know is influencing you now. You may not even know. So it's vain conversation or vain tradition. It's inside you somewhere. You are not even aware it's there. Recesses of your mind. It's somewhere there. So it shapes your persuasion about what should occur in marriage. How you treat children. How you handle in-laws. You don't even know there's a program running by itself. And the only thing that can go into those recesses and pluck those things out is the word of God. To give you a new orientation. Some years ago, I had a story of a particular young man that came home one day and the wife thought to give him a special treat and made food based on the counsel of a friend, which is not wrong. And she put some condiments in the soup, and it looked dark. And the guy saw it and reacted violently. And the wife was like, my gentle husband, that's kind. soft spoken, he reacted violently. He started shouting, so you sent you to kill me. You have joined them. They sent you to kill me. Now, he grew up in a polygamous home where wives were poisoning each other's children. I hope you understand. So the minute he saw something suspicious, his mind went back. The wife has never poisoned this for 2 or 3 years in marriage. But suddenly those substances, they brought out the eating program on the inside. The woman was in shock at the allegation. But the man was reacting true to type because there is a vain conversation on the inside that will come out if there's an external parallel. I hope you understand. In other words, there are words you will hear from your partner that will cause a reaction. I had a friend on campus. We used to practice martial arts together. I didn't understand that you can call him, you can insult him if you're angry, say anything. Whatever you say, don't say idiot. I thought words like buffoon, imbecile was worse. Just don't say, apparently when it was going up, the highest insult was idiot. So when you see yes, it's like you have destroyed a soul. I hope you understand. Now, the word idiot may not mean that to you. Because you didn't, I hope you understand. So, limiting influences mindsets that are there, that you're not even conscious of. The Bible says you were redeemed. Patterns of life, of living, on the inside. Second Corinthians text talks about strongholds, imaginations, that have exalted themselves against what? The knowledge of Christ. That is, the knowledge you have in Christ now, you are a new creation now, you are fashioned differently, wired differently, according to God's plan. But that plan doesn't enter into the deepest of your consciousness, except the word of God is applied on the inside. So there are hidden laws that will play out, given the right situation. So we've not seen certain sides of you because we've not found a suitable situation. For you to know, there are laws. There's a way you behave. A way you treat your partner and your spouse because there was some certain things you saw when you were growing up and you just assumed this is the best way to do it. Now, Christ brought a new culture entirely that you are not learning. Look at what it says next. Look at verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without what? Spot. That is stainless, pure. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in this last times for you. Who by him you have believed in God. Say, I believed in God. Who raised him from the dead. And God gave him glory so that your faith and your expectation, everything you expect now by reason of the new birth, might be where? In the one who gave you birth to Christ Jesus. So in raising Jesus, he gave you supernatural hope. It says, seeing you have purified your souls, and sometimes, of course, reading of King James, you can misunderstand what I'm saying. You have purified your souls. You didn't purify your soul. Let me read it in ways meant to be. Let me first read in King James and read the ways supposed to be. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto untainted love, that's sincere love, okay, of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Let me say that ways meant to be read. Seeing your souls have been purified the minute you believed. Obeying the truth is what believe. So, seeing your soul was purified the minute you believed. And in your believing, what you now have is not the fake love that you have on the earth. The word unfeigned means untainted. That's which is sincere in composition. It says that love that you was battered in your heart as you believe, that is the love you are going to use to love all your brothers and sisters fervently. Hallelujah. Let me say it again. So if you're reading the way it's written, it says that seeing you have purified your souls, so you didn't purify your souls. Your soul was what? Purified by your believing. So the process of believing purified your soul. Let me give you a scripture that is similar to so you understand. This is not where we're going, but it's important. Look at 1 John chapter 3 from verse 1. So that when you're reading on your own, it should be easy to detect and to rephrase it. Behold what man of love the Father has bestowed, lavished upon us, that we should be called. So what we're called is a function of what was lavished upon us. So you are not called your behavior, you're not called by your character, you are called after the order of what God bestowed upon you. Say amen. Alright, so that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world does not recognize us, because the world did not also what? Recognize him. Look at verse 2. Beloved, now, say now. Say now. Now am I a son of God. Now, so now with the sons of God, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is what? Pure. Now, so again, that's the rendering, that's the issue. Go back to that verse. So everyone that has this hope, he purifies. That's actually what he says. Everyone that has this hope, what hope? That you are called the Son of God, and that one day you will see him as he is. That is, of course, what we call the rapture. He says, everyone who has this hope, he is the one who does what? Purifies. Say amen. Can you see that now? So, because most of us read King James. How many of you read King James Bible? That's what you read. Okay, so these explanations are important when you read it, so that you won't think it's your work. It's not your work. You can't purify yourself. He is your purifier. In fact, he is your purification. Amen. So, he purifies you. Himself, he purifies you. Even as he is pure. So, you can't attain to his level of purity. He has to give you his purity to make you what? Pure. That's the same thought behind he comes to the church with the washing of water, what? By the blood. That's what Jesus said. By the washing of water, and when I say water, I mean the blood. So the blood, the water, is not physical substance. He's talking about the effect of the Spirit upon the hearts of men. Say amen. Now, that washing, though it has been done as salvation, it now continues as you are exposed to the word of God. So go to 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 1. And let's see what it says. 1 Peter 2 verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, so believers have to deal with this. So this is present in believers. As newborn babes, you desire. So you have a new life in Christ, but your mind is still the old mind. But you have a new nature already, which is standing side by side with the old way of thinking. And so the new nature you have will have to be put on so that the nature that you have in Christ may be seen on the surface. So as newborn babes, now, you are not a newborn babe. It's an illustration. As newborn, just like a babe that's just freshly born, you desire the sincere. The word sincere also means that untainted, pure, milk of the word that you may want, grow thereby. Hallelujah. Look at next verse. It says, if so be you've tasted the Lord is gracious. That's another word for saying, since you are now saved. When did you taste God's grace? When you got saved. See, I've tasted God's grace. I'm now saved. So he's teaching you how to continue. He's teaching you how to continue. He's explaining 1 Peter 2 verse 2. So he says, as newborn babes, you are to desire. Now, let me say this. You cannot fully, listen carefully, capture the thoughts God wants to impregnate you with this season if you don't have the composite of the written word to interpret. Let me say it another way. I tried to tell us last week that what God spoke to us late last year about the overflow is that the overflow doesn't mean something God will do alone. It's a divine partnership. He's going to move you from point A to point Z by instructions. The instructions will come from two sources, the spoken and the written word. The written word helps you to interpret the spoken word. This is a very wrong season to be absent from a local assembly. The worst season that you can choose to be absent. Because you can't do some things God wants to do online. There is no season that the scripture is more true when it says, you will not forsake the assembly of yourselves, what? Together. We've interpreted that scripture to mean, when we physically gather, it's more than that. When we gather for a purpose. We gather for a purpose of interaction. And because it was ordained by the Spirit of God, that gathering, there are things we do in that gathering, there are things that gathering represents that can never be accomplished online. Never be accomplished online. It's just impossible. So the physical gathering is because of the spiritual nature of what is meant to accomplish, which you cannot accomplish online. It doesn't matter how many channels you open to, Daystar, anything online. You can't have the growth you'll have. You can't be balanced. Because God designed that way. It's not man that, it's God that designed that way. Even those who are called ministry gifts can never grow to the place of maturity to dispense of the assignment until they, if somebody is a traveling evangelist, he must fellowship in a local assembly when he's not on the road. That's God's design. By default, we're all insufficient by ourselves. By design. So no one can do without the other. Not the pastor, not the evangelist, not the apostle, not the prophet. If you are not on assignment on the road, you should be in a local assembly fellowship, because God designed local assembly that two things: the feeding of your soul, the nourishment that you need to grow so that the stature of Christ within you can come out. Number one. Number two, instructions per time. So the pastor is teaching and preaching because the Spirit of Christ is here. He uses an illustration that gives you an instruction concerning an issue in your mind which you didn't discuss with him, but God knows. And God will use what he says to lead you in the right direction concerning what you do. That's the meaning. How many of you have experienced that before? Pastor doesn't have to know. It is Christ's arrangement for your proper growth and increase. That's the way God just does it. Every joint is supplying. Glory to God. So, not forsaking. This season simply means the spiritual nourishment from the teaching of God's word, the relationships, which is the flow of the spiritual relationships, the confirmation you're going to have, you can't have it online. You cannot have it online. So this is the wrongest time, because overflow means God wants to move you beyond the limits you've had before into new things, because there are always new things in God. There are new heights to climb. There are new missions to accomplish. There are always greater things to do. So the way God does is there's two things. He will give you instructions, which will sound strange if you don't have a written word composite or that same instruction. Amen. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, listen to God's word. Feed on God's word. Make it regular. Listen to messages. Read the scriptures. It will guide your soul. Now, you know, let me say this also. Even if you have a dream in the night, if you don't have the word of God on the inside that you are fed upon, you can misinterpret. How many of you know? You can misinterpret. So your best and safest harbor in life is to have ingested enough of the written word to interpret every situation you find yourself in. There must be an answer in God's word. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is what? Common to man. There's no challenge you are in right now, economically speaking, financially, health-wise, maritally speaking, that men have not faced before. And God, knowing ahead of time, has made a way of escape in his word, which is now impressed upon your heart by his spirit. Now, here's the issue. When the spirit is impressing, it's assumed you already know the written word. So when you are absent or there's a vacuum when it comes to the written word, there is no ground. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 from verse 1. When you want to begin a new venture or start out something in God, I recommend you read the first 3 chapters of Joshua. It will ginger, it will stir you up, because God is the same. He does the same pattern. After the death of Moses, servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of your life, as I was with Moses. So I will be with thee. I will not want, fail thee, nor forsake thee. That is God's part. That is the overflow God is bringing. How will the overflow manifest? Look at the instruction. Be strong. Your responsibility, your part in the equation. You be strong. What do I mean by strength? Be of good courage. So, it's not physical strength, it's internal strength. Brothers and sisters, internal strength is greater than physical strength. It is internal strength that makes you see opposition as an avenue for progress. We hear the same things. We don't interpret the same way. That's courage. That's internal strength. Courage doesn't mean there's no fear. Courage is your posture despite the presence of fear. Your decision to go on. So don't think people who are called courageous have no fear. No. In fact, if there's no fear, there's nothing like courage. Courage is an internal posture which is orchestrated by meditation on God's word that makes you see challenges as opportunities for progress. So somebody else is throwing in the towel, waving a white flag in surrender. The same challenge, you look at it as another stepping stone to the next season of God's working in your life. A relationship ends so that a better one can begin. You need to see, you see, God was doing something. Be strong of a good courage. Unto these people, you, Joshua, you, the way you are looking at it, like, this responsibility is huge. You will divide. You know the people he's talking about? You divide for an inheritance, the land that I swear unto their fathers to give them. Look at the next verse. As though, God, why are you repeating things? It's because he knows your heart. Only. That's all I need from you. Be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it what? To the right and to the left, that you may prosper with us wherever you go. It means the courage will come from observing what is written. Listen carefully, because shortly after chapter 2, chapter 3, Joshua will now act on what is written by what is spoken. Let me say it again. Joshua is meant to act. Let me say it the other way. Joshua will act on what is spoken because of what is what? Written. One of the illustrations has always been a blessing to me. I'm just taking a side turn now. Just follow me, side turn now. Is the story in Second Chronicles about Joshua. And how many of us know that story? I can't get tired of that story. Because in proper Bible study, you go back to the utterance of the king when three armies came against them. Was Joshua surprised? Yes, he was surprised. Was God surprised? God wasn't surprised. Was Moses surprised? Even though Moses was not alive, Moses wasn't surprised. How do we know? God had given Moses instructions. There is an order. This is how things will happen. So you will go to war. When you go to war, anytime you go and you see a people and an army greater than you, fear them not. It is written. If it's written, that's God's covenant. He can't fail. He's as strong as, be careful for nothing. Sir, you don't understand. They are threatening people with sack in my office. I know. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request. What is thanksgiving meant to do? Take your heart away from anxiety. Thanksgiving is meant to take your heart away from what? Anxiety. With thanksgiving. Why is somebody right? Because your heart was never designed to process anxiety. It was never designed. Instruction after instruction. Be still and know I am God. Are you not aware is God? Sometimes you forget. Why do you forget? Because there are storms here and there. You're like, how do we survive this one? How did you survive the previous ones? Did he take your strength or his strength? Did he come true for you in the past? So what is making you think he won't come true now? No wonder it says, only be thou strong and be very what? Courageous. That's the internal work that the word of God will do on the inside of you. Reconfigure your thinking. Expand the coast of your mind such that the possibility you see within will be greater than difficulties without. So Joshua was being given those instructions because God is going to now say some things to him he has never said to somebody else before that time. Unless I forget, let me say this. If you wait for perfect conditions, you will never see the perfection of God. Jesus does not promise you perfect conditions. He promises you a perfect outcome. They're not the same thing. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 4. The one who observes the rain, he will not sow. The one who observes the cloud, he will not be able to reap. External conditions do not determine what God tells you to do. What God wants to do is bigger and greater than external conditions. So what will make you run with the instruction you were given, which somebody else may also have been given? The difference between the two of you is the hearing of faith. How did you hear what God said and what did you do with it? I had a man of God saying, and I studied and I saw that it was true. So if God told you to do something 6 months ago, an idea came. It may be business, it may be enterprise, it's goal to do. 6 months have passed. Observe very well within the economy, within the situation, somebody else will come up with it. Somebody else will come up with it. Somebody else, because you were slow. He will give it somebody else. That's what happens. Have you been there before? Sometimes you just did something you were thinking, I wanted to do that. You wanted to. Not because God doesn't want you wants to prosper somebody else other than you. He still wants to prosper you, but usually a lot of times, whatever idea God gives you will be something that will benefit others. That's what happens. So, now, be strong and a good colleague is that when he speaks, as silent as it is, in your own consciousness, it is loud. And you are bold. Now, where do you get boldness from? Because something happened last year. This year. And the Spirit of God said, there are many people who are meant to stop the old and start the new. Remember that instruction? You know how many of us came out? And there's still fear because of salary. The Bible calls it salary. Somebody says salary is what they pay you for ignoring your own dreams. I'm not the one that said it, though. In case you are wondering. It says what they pay you so you can ignore your original dreams. That means there are dreams you have that you wanted to execute. Now, when God is giving you marching orders, don't think environmental circumstances must be favorable. No. Otherwise, it's not called faith. It's not called faith. But before you start out, what are the instructions? Be strong. Of a good college. You're about to do this, do this, do this. But you need to what? Be strong. That is internally. There has to be strength. Now look at verse 8. This book of the law. And let me say this very importantly. When you say book of the law, because every time we hear law now, we say, I'm not under the Old Testament, I'm under the New Testament. I'm also under the Old Testament. Amen. Because what you call old there, the Bible doesn't use the word old. The word law means testimony of God's faithfulness, right from Genesis. How did God deal with Noah? How did he deal with Enoch? How did he deal with Abraham? That's called the law. It's a law means it's a principle that's always working. Now, this book, because Moses wrote Genesis. So the law begins from Genesis. It doesn't start from the 612 statutes. No. Those were dietary laws, partially, given to those who came out of Egypt. So the law is bigger than 612 statutes. Then some of them were dietary, some of them were what they come to cleanliness, how to do so. I hope you understand. Even how to build the houses, so this, they were never given to people like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Have you noticed that? They were given to those who came out of slavery. It's the extra that people who were in bondage were given. So those who were never bound, like Joseph, they didn't know that as a law. What they knew as a law was the word of mouth that was passed across. That is the history of God's dealings right from the days of Abel. That's what they knew as a law. So the book of the law is not just those statutes. It's the dealings of God with those patriarchs. It will not depart from you, man. That is, can you see that there's nothing you're about to face that others have not faced also before? And look at how they responded. Don't let the response and the outcome depart from your consciousness. Hallelujah. Don't let it. So take a walk on the road with Abraham and see how a man at 90 something years of age is telling his neighbors when they are greeting him, my name is not Abraham, it is Abraham. Mockery. Are you okay? After all this year, what do you mean by that? Because Abraham is our father. Abraham is father of what? Nations. And you don't have father. The only one you have right now is Ishmael. At least we thank God for you. You still have Ishmael. Be joyful. And you are telling people that, no, my name is Abraham. And then she will call the wife, mother of nations. You don't get father of nations. And people look at what kind of comedy is this? And you are walking that way. And even though his body was dead, medically speaking, and Sarah was past age, not menopause or menostop, they saw a child born. Maybe, I don't know how you meditate, because he told Joshua to meditate. I don't know how you meditate. The way I meditate, I see not just a child born. I see how she gave birth without assistance. I see how she nursed at 90. How? What's flowing in her veins? At 90. And she nursed a child. Elizabeth nursed John. Maybe their own menopause, not menopause. But how do you think about that's the power of God? That means age is nothing when God is at work. Nothing. All natural laws suspended. Medical science goes on vacation when there is a higher law at work, so that the word of God can come to pass. So when they say there is no way, God says that I will show you how there can be a way here now. What's God? This book of God shall not depart of your mouth. You shall meditate therein how day and night, day and night. Then what does it say next? That you may observe to do all that is what? Written therein. It is then what will happen. You will make your way prosperous. And you will have good success. On the back of this instruction, God now began to speak to Joshua. On the son of that instruction. Joshua chapter 3. Let's read from verse 1. Are you with me this morning? We're moving on to greater things. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they moved from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before the Passover, until it came to pass, after 3 days, that officers went through the host, and they commanded people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits, that's about a mile, by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way before. You have not had this experience before. You are about to experience God in a way you have never experienced God before. You have not come along this route before. It says, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves tomorrow. The Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day, and God is saying that about you also, this day I will begin to magnify you in the sight of the people, because there will be results that will come out of you that will astonish your community. When God wants to separate one man from the other, he gives the man the hearing of faith. He hears what others are not hearing. It's not a general hearing, it's called the hearing of faith. Galatians said that he that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, how does he do it? By the works of the Lord, by what? The hearing of faith. The idea was whispered, you heard it. And because work has been done with respect to meditating God's word, there is a divine energy that comes into you that makes you make progress. Everybody's following the economic forecast. Things like this can't work now, but you hear heaven say, go forward. The same thing happens with investments. You hear heaven say, go forward. The hearing of faith. You stepped into that field, that area. It's still green, it's still new for a lot of people. But you heard God say, go for it. Because again, God has no issue prospering men. That's what the book of the Lord tells us. He prospers Abraham. He prospered Isaac. He prospered Jacob. I showed you Genesis 26. God said, sow in this land. This land is not the physical land. Even though he sowed in the physical land, this land is the instruction that came out of the mouth of God. Sow in this land means at this time now, when the ground due to famine is burning up seed, you sow because I said so. And while he was trying to do that, God showed him an irrigation system, hitherto not done before. And in the same year, when the ground was burning seed, Isaac reaped what? 100-fold. Genesis 26. The same God that keeps covenant now came to his son, Jacob, years later. After he had told him, as you cross over to this place, I'll be with you. Even though you'll be there for 21 years, seemingly being defrauded. But while in that process, you still look up to me, I'll bring you out. How did God bring you now? In the night vision, Genesis chapter 30, he saw by revelation. Can you see the cattle that is going upon him? Now put this stick. God gave him a scientific method for him to legally be blessed. Not by defrauding, no. Because he has been defrauded. But when God is at work, hallelujah, I hope you know there are valid ways to make money. That's one of the things we're trying to teach our young men. I would trust that in their generation, I mean, think about it. Young men, 19, 20, 21, high-tech minds, bringing for solutions. Already wealthy in school, but their heart belongs to Jesus. When they go to Yahoo, but Yahoo boy will listen to Jesus. So. I hope you know. Because people of your age, they are not, the word is not shocking them. It's what is the next thing Jesus wants us to do. They control millions, you won't know. They still prosper when they greet you. Not the one that feel like, you know, Yahoo money, everybody's your mate. There is a spirit behind it. That's the spirit. Have you seen them before? At some market, the way they behave. You know there's a spirit behind that money. The way they behave, none of them has respect. Rude, uncultured, wayward, unruly. Because you didn't get the money by legal means. That means, even in making money, if you're so prosperous to get that fund, it will show up in your conduct. But if you get it by other means, your conduct will be destroyed. It will be destroyed. There's a process that bears such dimensions. There is. I've seen many of them. The way they behave. But watch out for those young, sound, believing men. Sound. God can trust them with funds. It's a fool that prosperity destroys. It's in the Bible. It's a fool. Jacob was a patriarch. Abraham was a patriarch. Isaac was a patriarch. Were they all wealthy? Yes. We didn't study the gospel to find out what they were. We studied about their work with God. Along the line, the God that they followed prospered them. So it's not the gospel of prosperity. It is that this God prospers men. Say amen. In their walk with him by faith, they will go through challenges, but in the process of obeying God, what does he do? He prospers them. Because men are seeking other means to make the same money. So he prospers his own. There's none of them that did not prosper. None. All of them prospered. Joseph prospered. Your own should not be different. Hallelujah. There's no clock on the wall, so I don't want to be tempted. When you want them to preach, remove the wall clock. We will preach the everlasting gospel, which will last forever. Hallelujah. So notice, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You meditate therein day and night. Because when it comes to you in the night seasons, and it drops an idea on your heart for you to pursue, it is the composite of God's word on the inside that will strengthen and embolden you for you to run in that direction. You won't find, go walk in First Bank inside the Bible. If you see there, show me your Bible. You won't hear going to the nursing care area. You won't see that in the Bible. But you can hear there a voice speaking to you. God's telling you, or suddenly an impression coming on the inside of you along that line. Even though what you plan to do was different. So what it will do is that, how does it speak? Once meditation is going on, in fact, meditation does two things. Not only does it give you strength on the inside, meditation also brings about revelation of God's plans for you. That is, something that becomes very loud on your conscience, like, do this. Just keep feeling, I need to do this. And that's how God rescues us from things to come. There's always a way of escaping God. Hallelujah. And our Father is always on duty. And he never goes on vacation. This book of the law, that is your responsibility, shall not depart. So that the hearing of faith can produce working of miracles in your life. Because what it took for Isaac to obey, so, when everybody is not planting, and then he not only grew beyond them, he walked forward until he became mightier than everybody, and the Philistines envied him. Genesis chapter 26. Because he heard the voice that said, so in this same land, even though it was not economically wise to do so. So what God does, that gives a man the hearing of faith that separates you from the rest. But in the body of Christ, everybody has the hearing of faith. But not everybody is strong and very what? Courageous. Let me give you a picture of that in the scriptures. Look at Matthew chapter 14. Are you with me this morning? Matthew chapter 14. Glory to God. And as we go on, I will show you, even if you don't get there today, intelligence. In the dictionary definition means acquisition of knowledge and skills with the application. That's what it means. Now, when they take you to conventional schooling, they don't give you intelligence. They want to bring intelligence out of you. Okay? That's what they want to do. So, and that's why our parameters for measuring success and for making it is changing. There are people who cannot speak properly, who are not schooled like we're schooled, who are wealthy. Have you seen them? So, the yardstick for intelligence and how you arrive there, it has changed. Okay? There are now virtual jobs and rules that there's no office desk. So, as that world is changing, you better change. Amen. What are you looking at? We received instruction. Is it 2 years ago that we said you're not going to certification? Was it 2 years ago? So can Spirit of God say that? TB, you heard it. Go and do certification. Don't be stuck. Before they collect what you are doing from you. Because a law will just be obsolete in the next 10 years. It's not going to be necessary because AI will have taken over. So whatever you're doing has to be something that AI can do. So God, knowing the future, is saying, go do this, take this course. He's telling you ahead of time, invest in this area. That's what he's saying. So God is very, very current. We're the ones that have to be careful that we're not backward. He's telling you, go into certifications, do those things so that you can freely compete. Because when he promotes you and you get there and you can't do what they ask you to do, God has done his own part. You look at now and say, write this. Now say this. Not going to be clever. He expects you to have prepared to a degree. What you can do is what he will do. The one you can do, he will let you what? Tell you to what? Do it. You need to learn a new language. Then he assists you to accomplish the task. But he will give you counsel. He will give you ideas. He will whisper. He will breathe upon you along those layers so they can take up the skills that are necessary for the new thing that God wants to do in your life. That's what God does. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew. I'm going to from verse 22. No man, when I first got saved, the instructions I was given for spiritual good. How many of you learned that when you were saved? In the 1980s, they said that if you want to go spiritual, they gave me Gideon's Bible, Knife of the Spirit. So they gave me that one. And I said, read the book of John first. First of all, before you are confused. First read the book of John. Then I said, read a psalm. Plus, everything. They didn't tell me which psalm. Just read one psalm, the book of John, 2 chapters a day. Then I said, when you finish, read Ephesians. You're looking at the friendly ones. Because if you dive into Hebrews, you will drown the Red Sea. Or you will be swallowed by sacrifices. You have to be very brave to enter Hebrews. If you go even from verse 1, you are thinking, the prophets spoke, but they didn't speak to my fathers. My fathers did not know the prophets. When was that? What's going on here? Is Jesus sitting? So you are looking for cushion chair that Jesus is sitting on. You know you're already confused. Even today when people say we are seated in Christ, people are still looking at we have chair in Christ. So before you get confused, just say John is very friendly. John doesn't do all this. Begat. You know John doesn't have that one. Mm-hmm. So you are still saved. Alright, so straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to go into a ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went down between mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was lying in the midst of the tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, that is 3 a.m. in the morning. The fourth watch. First watch, 6. Second watch, 9. Third watch, 12. Fourth watch is what? 3 a.m. in the morning. So Jesus had been praying for 9 hours. Just to let you know. So that when we call for 6 hours prayer, Jesus, without sin, he didn't have a family. He was not planning to get married. What was he praying for? Not for spouse. For 9 hours. He was not praying for business, except heavenly business. And he prayed for 9 hours. Okay. Amen. So, and like I said, without sin. Pure man is praying. So that means my prayer is not because I have sinned. That's not why men pray. If man did not sin, men would still what? Pray. Someone said because of the sin of Adam, that's why we're walking. Don't even think life will be born if you don't walk. Okay, you're just walking up and down. You're not walking. I don't understand. Rich people just have some very funny ideas that if Adam, before there was ever sin, God put him in charge of a garden. So why do you think it's because of Adam's fall that we're now? So you don't want to walk. Some people think when I get to heaven, I'm singing, hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you be born? Which is hallelujah. That's what you'll be doing. There's work. There are classes to attend. There are classes to attend. If you have not gone to believers class, better go now. Somebody in teenage class will be teaching in heaven. Better for some go now. Yes. A pastor, because you don't use a job out there. Some of you will not be able to sit in Abraham's class. Some of you can get to post class. You'll have to pass through Abraham. Isaiah will have had to teach you. You can't qualify. So before you can qualify, select people's classes to talk with them. So better learn now quickly. Amen. What don't learn now, you're going to continue. It's nothing like, finally. All this teaching. You're just starting. All right. Where are we? Praise God. See, so around 3 in the morning, just went to them walking on the sea. Notice the wind was now what? Contrary. And when disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke on the saying, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. First thing, Jesus did not calm the storm. The wind was still contrary. Jesus was walking on the sea. Did Jesus knew there would be a storm? Yes. Did he tell them about the storm? He didn't. What did he say? Go to the other side, I will meet you there. He didn't promise you perfect conditions. He promised a perfect outcome. That's what he did. The storm is a sign of the turbulence in the world. That's what the storm represents. I didn't send you into peaceful waters. I'm telling you that when you're sailing through trouble, I'll be your peace. That's what I promised you. So for a believer to start shaking, why is everything like this? Jesus, you're the one that said I should go. He knew there will be a storm. Otherwise, there will not be need for peace. Amen. He knew there will be a storm. So we don't even want any opposition at all. Yes, any small thing. Is this God? Is this God? This is God now in the flesh. Who told them to go? And when the storm was raging, he didn't wait for there to be calm. He walked on what was making them afraid. To fulfill the scripture, I'm with you. Don't be afraid. So the storm doesn't mean he has forsaken you, has forgotten what he said, I should get to the other side. He factored the storm in before he sent you ahead. Let me say this. Does God test us? Yes. What do I mean by that? Not the kind of test that the enemy brings. Let me explain what I mean. It's an intelligence within you that you will never know until you are in hot water. I mean, you know, tea bag is useless without hot water. It's tea. The producers, they know. You and don't know until you put it where? In hot water. And then the quality comes out. Now, the same way you test drive a car. Before you test drive the car is already in excellent condition. But you are not sure it is, isn't it? So it's what you call performance testing, isn't it? Now, Jesus sent them the way he sends you. Before Abraham got to the point where he was tested to bring Isaac, Jesus spoke about Abraham in that conversation, Genesis chapter 18. For I know him, he will teach his children. I hope you understand what that means. He will teach his children that they should follow me, to walk in my statutes. God knew Abraham's heart. So why did the test come? So that Abraham can display before the court of the universe that God's approval of me is true. If you understand what I'm saying, God's approval of me is true. Your faith in God is divine approval. In certain situations of life. It's divine approval in certain situations of life. So when he told them, he didn't tell them there'll be a storm. He did not. He only told them to go to the other side. The storm arose. And I know deliberately Jesus did not calm the storm before he walked. Because walking and the sea being calm have no correlation. When it's not calm, can you walk? You don't walk on the sea normally. So, you see, calming it before you now walk doesn't make any difference. Man was not designed naturally to walk on the sea. So whether it's calm or it's turbulent really does not make any difference. So he did not calm the storm. While the storm was raging, he walked on it to show mastery over those elements for them to see that even storms obey and are under the feet of the Son of Man. Now, if you go back to our series when we're teaching on understanding supernatural, last year? So we're going to continue the series shortly because I try to tell, because there's something Jesus did, like a one of, some of us may not understand what it really means, because some of us are just thinking that he just wants to just show that he has power. Jesus never showed he has power for anything. There's no reason to show he has power. It was because whenever you see those storms and those things, they are spiritual forces. And because the spiritual forces is master over those forces also. How do you know there are forces in the depths of the earth? Amen. Some of you are looking, Pastor. So there's no water before God. There is now. You think just men just wake up and conjure images? No. There are statutes of things going on. Don't you know somebody appeared to them? Or you've been appeared to them? That's what happened. A being appeared looking like that. Before a man can just wake up and construct a statue and looks a particular way. No, a being appeared looking that way. A demonic being. And because he's a spiritual being, they just followed. So there's such things. If Philippians chapter 2, what does it say? At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of beings in heaven, of beings on earth, of beings where? On the, there are beings under the earth to help you know. And there are. There are beings under the earth. Not, I'm not talking about those when you say that, but they are making they're making relaxer under the sea. They are making what do you call this thing? Hey, everyone. Why now? Why? They're making mess under the sea. They've not finished under the ground. They are making bends on the sea. All those kind of fake deception. You even need to be daft to believe some things. They are making weave on. That's why people are having visions of them when they are going to heaven. God knows, Peter said, you are coming to heaven with this weave on. That you go. I don't know how. Your spirit is wearing weave on. Your spirit is wearing your ring. Your spirit. I don't understand. You don't need to know scripture. Just think a little bit. You say you saw a vision. God has said everyone there is wearing gold. God is angry with gold. He just said everyone there wearing gold. And the person you saw, those who were trooping towards, I know why Peter is always a gate man. I don't know what about there. They didn't say Andrew or Matthew. It's only Peter. As always at the gate. I don't know what Peter is. Now as he was going, some people, they even can say they saw an angel. When you're not going, I said that he was wearing, that God did not allow them to because they were wearing earring. No, you have a problem with hearing. I will pray for you, show you scriptures. You don't have to wait, it's not compulsory. That's okay. That if it will help your faith, it's okay. But are you sure? Your vision is a function of your knowledge of God's word. That's actually why you're seeing those things. There's some things you stop seeing. How many of you, nothing presses you at night again? Those forces have not changed. You are the one who changed. Have you noticed? When was the last time you were placed? You don't have time for them. They also don't have time for you. They've gone to look for weaker people. They've left you that this one. If this one is not working for this one again. The same way when they try to defraud you, there's some games that don't work for you. Money's calling, I'm from social media, you just call the coffee. I don't have your time. There were a time you could walk. The same thing, those business way, this one. Wasn't a 90-something that you're president? That's good. This one has gone. You are left that class. If it won't work for you again, this it happens. You graduate. Amen. You go to higher things. Alright, so. Hallelujah. So Jesus walked on the water. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 14. So he spoke unto them saying, be of good cheer, desire, be not afraid. And Peter answered, how many people were in the boat? There were 12. One answered, Lord, if it is you, if it is okay, if this limit can be broken, ask me to come. That's all I need to hear. No written word to guide him on. Just spoken word now. Just say, I should come. And look at what happened. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, so for every step you want to take out of the norm, Jesus will encourage your faith. It does not discourage you. He will encourage your faith. He wants to show you new possibilities if you can stand your ground. Now, I want to show you where That instruction for Joshua to be strong and courageous, where it now matters. Look at what happened. When it was come down, he actually walked on the water, on the strength of come. He actually walked. Is he better than the other devil? Yes. Because he took a step out of the norm. It's better than those saying which walk. Walk for what? You are inside the boat. The storm is making you afraid that you may sink. And I say, come inside the, for what? Dilemma. This Peter, you will die quickly. You will soon die. Because you are never here. This, they are inside boat. That is relatively safe. They are crying that they may die because of the storm. You now say that, even that storm, can I come there? Say, everybody stay still. Peter said, if it's really you, ask me to come. That is, if it's true that you will never leave me nor forsake me, tell me the next thing to do to assure me. And God says, son, step forward. I can't see, it's dark. But he says, step forward. And then Peter stepped. And for the first time, water did not cause him to sink. Water held him up. Because Master said, come. The nature of the water did not change. It's on the word that the Master spoke that Peter was walking on. Even the water had to obey. Because the Master said, come. It doesn't say come because the economy is better. He only told you in the situation that since I'm the one that said so, the economy will part way for you. The business will prosper for you. The career you're stepping into, it will work out for you. You say, but sir, you don't say, it is saturated. I know, but I asked you to go. Many went, but I'm sending you. There's a difference. There are things that many went to do, but I sent you. The music industry is saturated. Listen. I was watching a small clip, and I think it was, I've forgotten the kind of award. It was, I'm sorry, I'm not so good at their names. Christian music artists. Yes, Franklin. So it was meant to give a lifetime achievement award to Ty Chibet. How many of you seen it? Yeah, so, and he spoke about that. When he came up that, he knew that he was in trouble. He was complimenting him that when this man rose up, and he saw the album and the songs. And the performer said that he knew that he was in trouble. Because when he came, he pioneered, I hope you know, he pioneered. So when he saw this, like, I said, was, they are friends. But I'm just trying to let you see. He said that he knew that he was in trouble. That this guy is gifted. This guy is complete package. Sound, scripturally, and everything. So I hope you know sometimes. So that's what he was saying. Like, he was now. You say that industry is, when people like Fred Hammond came, we said, can't get any better. It's not getting better. There's no end to creativity in God. So it's in your mind that is saturated. There are new songs from heaven that we are yet to see. Give it 5 years, you will wonder, where are these things coming from? So if God asks you to sing, if he told you to sing, there's even between I went and I was sent. There's a difference. If he asks you to go, you'll be different. You just notice that your voice is hard. Moon was made for you. So this idea of is saturated, that's not, when it comes to the hearing of faith, it's different for you. Hallelujah. That's one of the limitations you need to remove from your mind and your consciousness. That's one of the limitations. So he said, come. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. He actually walked. But when he saw the wind boisterous, that means he was not afraid before. When he stepped out, there was no fear. What brought fear is senses. Introduced fear. But there was no fear when he was stepping out. Because if you are afraid, you'll never tell Jesus if it be you. If it is you, come into the ship. It's a better proposition. I hope you know. If it is you, tell the storm to stop. That's the one that people even like. If it's really you, it's not you, it's not you. This is spirit, it's not you. If it's you, yeah, tell them, they to be calm. You are the Prince of Peace. They be calm. But if it is I, be of good cheer, and you are not stopping storm, and you say I should be of good cheer, that means I expect your disposition to still be scriptural even when the storm is raging. Be of good cheer, it is I, and it's still raging. Be not afraid. Let me explain being not afraid, what it means. It's not saying fear is not present. It's saying don't do fear. Don't act on fear. So being not afraid doesn't mean you won't have the sensation. It means don't act it out. What were they doing? They were screaming, they were shouting, we are finished. I didn't tell my wife goodbye. And I was having what kind of thing? My mother also told me not to go with this man. When I was leaving, so they were voicing fear, literally voicing fear. In the ever. Fear is voiced. So being not afraid means don't do fear. Don't act it out. Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Now on the strength of be of good cheer, Peter said, if it's really you, ask me to come. And Peter stepped out. And he began to walk until he observed the winds. And fear came. Now, interestingly, the wind had always been boisterous. So there was a temporal time, unlike the other 11, that the eyes of Peter left the wind to the voice he was hearing. And when he heard that voice and he followed, he was calm. He stepped out, he began to walk. He wouldn't have been able to walk if he didn't follow the voice. Then instead of focusing on the voice and the person speaking, he shifted for a few seconds. Look that wind. This is not normal. No. Somebody shouldn't walk in water like this. What would they tell my children? That was foolish enough when they stay inside the boat for to jump out here. So the minister just took it. Now, this is why God told Joshua, only be strong. Because that is where the test will come. It's not what God will say that's the problem. It is how will you respond on the inside when the storm is still raging. Because listen carefully, we don't have time to continue today. We'll continue this week. When Joshua went before Jordan, it was harvest season. The waters overflowed their banks. That means waters can carry people away. And God told Joshua, unlike Moses when I told him to lift up a rod, tell the priest that they should step their feet in the water. That means possibility that both the priest and the ark, and you are meant to follow Joshua, your new leader, both the priest and the ark can go. In Moses' time, before you, anybody goes, just lift up rod. Everybody will see water part before you go. This time around, water will not part until you put your feet inside. So you can see me now. Can you see why you need to be strong and what? Very courageous. And then God said, this instruction I'm giving you, if you obey and they see the wonder, I will magnify you before the people. So I said to him last week, I will deliver him and I will want honor him. That is, as you step out of what he has said, in lifting you, he will bring honor your way. People will know that this lifting could not have come but from God alone. Hallelujah. That's where God is moving us to. There are things God will do. You will be so much in shock. When you are praying, there will be no words. I'm talking about you lie down flat. When people are praising, you are like, Imu, I've been here before. That you know you don't know how to do it. But how you got there, only the finger of God could have got you there. You know. Those are the things God has programmed for us ahead of time. And that's why in the secret place, in place of devotion, it drops the idea, drops the thoughts. We're praying about it. We're doing Holy Ghost meeting differently a bit this year. I will let you know as we go on. We'll pray. Because he will just come with a whisper. If you miss that season, that's it. That's it. That's it. So he did something interesting. He stepped out as a random of land. Look at what happened. I want to tell you there's a backup plan in God. Which verse are we on now? 30. So when he saw the wind boy, he was afraid and beginning to sing, he cried, say, Lord, save me. I'm out of my depth now. I started the journey, but I can't still continue. Look at what Jesus did. Immediately, say immediately. Even wait for you to drown. He showed his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith. Wherefore the jail? Let me explain what that little faith means. Little faith doesn't mean small faith. It means faith that's mixed with doubt. Faith that will act and can still yield to doubt from time to time. Can there be faith in the heart and doubt there also? Yes. So what is strong faith? When you act on the faith alone and ignore the doubt. What's little faith? When you still act on the doubt despite the presence of the faith. In fact, the little faith was the cause of what he was saying. Lord, save me. Beginning to sink, he was afraid. Lord, save me. The first little faith was also used when Jesus was teaching. Take no thought saying, if God is able to clothe the ladies of the field, will you not be able to also much more clothe the older of little faith? That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 28-30. So now little faith means that you that is taking thought saying, Lord, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? He calls it what? Little faith. That is, the anxiety that came to your heart has entered your mouth. It has entered your mouth. Another time when they were in the boat and Jesus was asleep and the storm came. You know what they said when the storm came? Carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus said, where is your faith? Because their faith or their lack of it was in what they said. Jesus was sleeping in the boat and they said, don't you care that we perish? And Jesus got up, rebuked the storm and then faced them. How is it that you have no faith? Or little faith? Because they voiced panic. Can there be panic and you don't voice it? Yes. I've been there before. I brought a report on Facebook recently. It's an old post. Because it happened, I think, Pastor C was there, I think it was 2009, 2010. I went to preach in Port Harcourt. when we were preaching. I was preaching strong. I wasn't coming like this. It was a special meeting. I was preaching strong, very bold. How God can save and deliver. And then we had commotion from the back of the church. And somebody came running towards me. And somebody was sitting with the cutlass. Huh? Ushers cleared the road. They did not remember the man of God. Who is boldly proclaiming God can save, God can deliver. And there was an highway, and I was standing here at that time. I know why I was standing here. That's people over there. And they were coming towards me with machete. It was either, you know, you tell yourself, insurance does not cover this one. So, this is not why I came here. So, give me strength to run. You can believe for that. But somebody just stood in the place. The ushers, the pastor of the church was confused. What? And this goes to my witness. They got here. I don't know what happened. The person that was running towards me diverted like this, and the person that was chasing watched followed him like that. Now, if you don't wait for God's deliverance, you're like, wait. I believe God for strength. Your message has finished. Hallelujah. Your message has finished. God saves. God delivers. God rescues. God is always on time. And those that put their trust in him shall never be ashamed. Never be ashamed. Lift up your hands this morning. Give him thanks. And give him praise. Say, I will never be ashamed. I'm in a new season. Ideas are coming. Thoughts are settling on my heart. I can do the impossible. Because I see the invisible. I hear the inaudible. This is my best season ever. I can't be stuck. I can't be stranded. No limitation can keep me down. I will arise above them all. Every difficulty is breakfast for me. I soar above them. I move beyond them. Nothing holds me back. I ride upon eagle's wings this season. I wait upon the Lord. He renews my strength. I'll mount on wings as eagles. I will run and not be weary. I'll walk. I will not faint. This is my finest hour. In the name of the Lord Jesus, 2025 is my year of the overflow. I overflow in every good thing, in all directions. Good things are made manifest in my life. I refuse to be down. My down days are over. I will not be depressed. I will not be sick this year. All through this year, divine health is mine. In the name of Jesus, I see a new beginning. I see new things happening for me. Everywhere I go, new associations, because the horn of God's favor has gone ahead of me. That horn is announcing me in my generation. Everywhere I go, men welcome me because the oil of favor is mighty in my life. This is my best hour. This is my finest season. The hand of God is strong upon me. His hand is good upon my life. Give him thanks. Give him praise. He's faithful. He's faithful. Give him thanks. Give him praise. He's faithful. Make up your mind this morning. You will walk with God. You will run with him. You will follow the instructions. You won't let any direction slip. Pray and ask God to strengthen you by spirit on the inner man so that you can act on instructions. You will not be found stalling, wasting time. You'll be sharp and sensitive to act on the directions that heaven is giving in this season. If you need to pray and fast, do so. If you are still in that area, ask God to strengthen you so that you can capture the thoughts from his heart and run with it. This is the beauty of the new creation. There's therefore now no condemnation. Them which are in Christ Jesus. If there's no condemnation, heaven is backing you up as you take up the work, the assignment. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So what he tells you to do, he supplies the energy to accomplish it. Let's run this season. It is what he says that you can run with and not be weary. It is what he asks you to do that you can walk in and you will not faint. It's important. Glory to God.